Did a little thing that you feel something? Did you always want me to be something? To mend a broken heart from a devil of shallow nonsense, turned your world upside down. Whatever said didn't mean something. Whatever said didn't mean nothing. And it'll look the part when it's all said and done. When it's all said and done. I'm no good next to diamonds. When I'm too close to start to fade. Are you angry with me now?
Hi, and welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. I'm your host, Trish McFarlane, and I am here with my co-host, Steve Bowes. Say hi,
hello.
Steve.
Hello,
and
Trish.
Today, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
And today is a little bit of a special show because not only is Steve co-host, he's actually going to be co-guest. So I will be leading off most of the questions this morning, and Steve will be both answering questions and probably asking some as well. So today's show here on being recorded on Wednesday, July 17th, is a show all about the HR Technology Conference coming up this fall in October and the general state of HR technology in 2013. So we're going to be hitting on some of the specifics about the conference, both in the coming fall event as well as maybe what happened and what's new from last year. And then also just talking a little bit about HR technology trends for the HR practitioners out in the field. So today's guest is Bill Cudick, but before we bring Bill on, I think Steve and I probably have a couple news and updates to kick around. So Steve, we have HR Evolution coming up as well. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited once again for HR Evolution, Trish, like yourself, Matt Stalick, myself, Ben Eubanks have been working on HR Evolution for the fall. Once again, we're co-locating with HR Technology. We'll be the day before HR Technology, right in the Mandalay Bay. We'll be on Sunday, October 6th, 2013. We've got a great lineup of sessions and presenters, and just a great HR Evolution community. We've got a superb sponsor. We've got an exclusive sponsor this year, SumTotal Systems. So a shout out to them who are helping us put on the event this year, and I'm just really excited about getting the HR Evolution, community back together again, especially in Las Vegas, where we know it's going to be a great time. Trish, I mean, you created HR Evolution. I mean, you probably have more you could even say about it than I could at this point.
Well, you're right. It's always a fun event, and for me, it's this time of the year when the planning is really starting to take shape, and we've got almost every session speaker lined up. And I think the fact that we have so many different topics this time in terms of the facilitated discussions is going to be really interesting. So, people are going to be not only hearing about some of the different tech tools and things like that, but they'll also be bringing back the HR Improv, which people really liked last time around, and then some really new sessions. I'm most excited about a global HR and recruiting session that we're going to do and getting perspectives from just about every corner of the world. So I think it's going to be great. People should go online now and get your tickets on sale at HR Evolution 13 at eventbrite.com. Early bird pricing is in effect right now. A ticket's at $120, and in a couple months they're going to go up to $200, so now's the time to do that. And also, I might as well mention we have a really good discount right now. If you purchase your HR Evolution ticket, you actually get a code sent to you for $600 off the HR Technology Conference. So while you're in Vegas, you might as well stay and attend both and get the value there, and that will be sent if you register. If not, I do have a very, very special discount for the HR Technology Conference, and it's Ringleader, all one word in caps, R-I-N-G-L-E-A-D-E-R, and that's a $500 discount. So either way, you cannot go wrong. Great learning in Vegas coming this fall in October. So what about vacations? I know I have my vacation coming this Saturday, and I haven't really taken a major vacation this year, so Disney is calling out to me and my family, and I'm going to have two little ones running around like crazy with princesses and pirates. And Yeah, how about you? Any trips or
I just came back from Baltimore. I had a great time for a few days in Baltimore. Saw an Orioles game. Still the best stadium in the major leagues as far as I'm
concerned. Oh, no. St. Louis has the best stadium.
Have you been to the Baltimore Stadium, Trish?
I have not. There's no need to travel. We've got the best right here in the Midwest.
All right. I'm going to have to come to St. Louis and check that out because Baltimore is still the number one stadium for me. Lovely
That's
time.
It.
Great time. Great people. Super time. And then tomorrow, Trish, as we speak, me and some of the guys on the 8-man rotation crew, my friends on the sports and HR crew, are heading out to Las Vegas for NBA Summer League action. So 4 days in Vegas
exciting.
Coming up, which is going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to that. This is probably one of my last official kind of professional duties I'm doing before the Vegas fun and games commence. So really looking forward to that,
good.
Too. So summer's going fast, though. And, before we know it, it'll be fall. It'll be conference season. And maybe, the biggest conference around, but in my opinion, is coming up soon. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
Good. Well, why don't we welcome our guest, your friend and co-chair of the HR Technology Conference, Bill Kudyk. For anyone who doesn't know, which I can't even imagine who would not know of Bill, but is the founding chair of the HR Technology Conference and Exposition. As we've mentioned a couple times, it is returning to Las Vegas, and that will be October 7th through 9th at Mandalay Bay. Bill is also an HR Technology columnist for HR Executive Magazine and been doing that for quite a long time. I know I've been reading his columns for years. And he's also the host of the Bill Kudyk Radio Show, which I'm a fan of as well. So, Bill, welcome.
Just delighted to be here, Trish. And you were actually right the first time. I've been the co-chairman from the beginning. David Shadovitz, the editor and publisher of Human Resource Executive, has been the other co-chair, and when I step down this year and Steve takes my place, he'll be working with David in the future. So David is incredibly lucky, and we are very lucky.
Well, good. Well, we are thrilled to have you. I know I personally, as a practitioner, have tons of questions about the upcoming conference. It's one that makes me very excited, and I know I tweeted out a few weeks ago when my brochure came in the mail.
You did. That was so sweet.
I did. Well, I really feel passionately about that. And so, and I can tell you that actually my copy arrived at work yesterday, and someone from my team immediately came in with it and was very excited. So, and excited that I was in it. So that was
awesome. That's
like a win. It was like a win-win situation. So,
You are debuting as a presenter on the Next Gen Influencers panel, which I figured as the old fart I should do, and I always refer to it myself as the 4 under 40, but we don't check IDs to be absolutely positive about that. We just have young looking and bright young minds on it. And you're going to be a panelist, which will be great, and I'll be the moderator. So the situation will be reversed. I'll ask you a lot of questions, and you'll get to talk a lot.
Good. Well, I'm excited. I will definitely be ready for it by then. So, well, listen, so we're back in Vegas. We were there a year before last for this event, and then this past year we were in Chicago. So talk a little bit about being back in Vegas. I mean, are there benefits that you see or any special differences that are notable for you as someone who's planning this event?
Absolutely. Aside from how much people just like going to Vegas, there's something called the Vegas bump, where every show that's somewhere else that goes to Vegas, their attendance goes up 20%, which did happen to us 2 years ago. In fact, we went up 30%, so I think we had 10% organic growth. I think the biggest benefit of being there is the size of the hotels, and that the conference, the expo, the dozens of vendor parties all happen in one place, in the single hotel, Mandalay Bay in our case, which to my mind makes for a great concentration of energy and networking and simply bumping into people. Which, I think the serendipity of that at any conference is hugely important. And last year in Chicago, as you know, after the conference or the show floor closed, we scattered all over the city for parties and didn't bump into anybody except at the party we were at. So I love being in Vegas.
True. Very true. No, that's a good point. I think also, I mean, as you mentioned, the fact that everyone's there in the hotel, you know, you're not dealing with transportation from the various hotels. And and you're right, you really don't necessarily see people all that often. So I'm really looking forward to it being at Mandalay Bay. I think that's a good venue for it, and really looking forward to
it. And let's apologize in advance to the people who are crazed by the fact that they have to walk for 25 seconds through the Smoky Casino to get to the convention center part of the hotel. You know, I, of course, love that, but I do feel their pain, and I'm planning to send everyone a map to show them how they can get to the convention center without walking through the casino, but it does mean going outside.
You know, I did it both ways, so that was good. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, to me, it's just Vegas. It just provides just a better overall experience in terms of, you know, you can get there easier. The hotels are easier. You know, you're right there in the hotel. You don't have to deal with cabs and lines and craziness. I mean, we just came off of Sherm in Chicago, right? And it was just a nightmare, you know, going anywhere at any time, right? And so getting back into Vegas just takes away a lot of headaches for attendees, I think, and in addition to all the benefits, the great benefits of just being in Vegas. It's an easy place to get to. The airport's right next to the city, and you know, the conference is right next to the hotel. Everything's just right there, and it's great. And of course, if you want to take advantage of all the other fun stuff in Vegas, if you're so inclined, then it's all there too. So I think it's the perfect place for the show.
Yeah, I think you hit on a little bit. The transportation costs are much less for the attendees, so not having to pay. I mean, I was definitely at the other events, I was paying quite a bit for either taxis or Uber or any one of those type transportation systems, and it was a lot. I mean, it was hundreds of dollars over the course
including
of the event.
Including airport
so.
Transfers. I mean, Las Vegas
no kidding.
Is the most incredible city in the U.S. that the airport is, you know, $14 cab ride from the hotel.
Right.
So you don't have those $45 cab rides you have in Chicago.
So, Bill, you have a different person helping you out this year, co-chairing with you. So how has that changed, enhanced, made it better, worse, different for you having someone to work with, you know, on a day-to-day basis as you go through this planning process?
Well, you know, Steve's really lucky we're not on video, so people can't see blushing from what I'm about to say. But I've worked alone for 24 years, and 15 of those on HR Tech. And working together with Steve this year was so great that I once caught myself thinking, gee, if I could do this every year with Steve, I wouldn't mind continuing to do it. Now, Steve, don't worry. It's, you know, it's all yours and David's after October 9th. You know, I am stepping aside, as I promised to. But I found our work together totally collaborative and additive. I mean, 1 + 1 = 3, to my mind, every time. Whenever I had a question or needed a second opinion, Steve had an answer that was smart, totally well-informed, and, you know, on the money. And I am so reluctant to admit this. Everyone listening has to promise not to tell anyone that I said this. But even when I gave Steve stuff I had written, he always made it better, and sometimes completely rewrote it and made it 10 times better. I mean, I don't admit that about anybody.
Wow, that's a big compliment. You know what, I think it's interesting that you worked alone for so many years, and then, I mean, good in the sense that you were able to help, you know, hand select who you'd be working with, but you just never know, right, when you start working with a different, you know, with someone, even if you know them a little bit, you don't know how those working dynamics are going to play out and if it'll be truly additive or not. So it's good to hear that it was definitely more aligned.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's great. I mean, we can go on this for a while and people don't really care, I don't think. But it was a great experience. Just absolutely necessary to – there's so much more that goes into this than I even thought. You know, I've had some experience planning events. We've planned HR on a smaller scale, of course, but – so much goes into this. It's amazing. It's even still, week to week, everything that happens around the event. So just remarkable how much work goes into it. And, you know, from Bill, of course, and Dave, and as well as the rest of the team at LRP, too. There's quite a few other folks that help out on the show in different capacities. And, you know, we certainly couldn't do it without them either. But it's been a really interesting and fun and educational experience for me, too.
I will reveal for the first time that I had a short list of 6 people for this job that I thought were qualified for it, and Steve was my first choice, and I did, in fact, hand-select him, and then he sold himself to the owner of the show. I mean, he was totally brilliant in his interview, and, you know, he backed it up every second when we did all this work together.
Good. Well, we can't wait to see the...
And I'm glad we're not on video, too, because I'm Trish. I'm in a Captain America T-shirt, which is probably not the most professional dress that we'd want for video to promote the show. So.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't need any video of that. Okay. So, well, Bill, tell us a little bit about, you know, I know that every time you attend a conference of any kind, really, they're always wanting feedback. But I noticed that when, you know, as an attendee in the past of HR Technology Conference, they really do sincerely ask for the feedback, you know, before you're leaving the different sessions. How much does that really play into the planning process as you're focusing on what sessions to bring on for the coming year or speakers for that matter?
You know, unfortunately, we don't get more than 1 in 10 attendees to fill out our evaluations. People are just so damn busy at HR Tech. There are always 3 sessions they want to go to, or a vendor on the show floor they want to talk to, or someone they just met that they just have to sit down with. But we do listen to the ones who do fill them out. And Steve really picked up this one important point this year, from last year, that attendees prefer single sessions from the best experts in the world who can really lay out the entire functional application landscape. I mean, people like Josh Burson on learning and Elaine Orler on recruiting, and that, you know, a lot of people prefer those to the case studies that we have of, you know, individual companies, usually world-class companies and the problems they face and how they solve them. So we've shifted that emphasis a bit this year because of that.
Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think, right, many folks will come to the show who for the working in their organizations with, you know, a purchase in mind, or at least a plan to begin a discovery process or an evaluation process. And so having sessions where, you know, an expert like Josh Burson provides an overview of the learning technologies landscape, or Elaine Orler does the same for recruiting technology landscape, that really, you know, somewhat high level, but the definitely comprehensive overview of the market. Lots of attendees find that very valuable. That's what we saw that in the feedback. We see that in the attendance numbers. I anticipate we'll see that again this year at the show as well. I expect those sessions and others like those will be among the more well-attended sessions, absolutely.
Steve,
well, I can tell you last year, as someone who did that, I was, you know, looking to purchase various things. Attending those sessions is very helpful.
And Steve brought up an important point. We don't just look at their evaluations. We look at the attendance numbers at each session to see what people are interested in learning about. And, you know, we're a little, no, we're not slaves to that, but we're certainly influenced by that. And, you know, he mentions Elaine. Elaine is planning to hand out a list of vendors to people at her session that who she knows are on the show floor, which she thinks they should go look at. So she's very aware of exactly what Steve said, that people go to these sessions to try to orient themselves in the product category, and they just love it when people give them advice. And
sure,
Elaine's prepared to do that.
No, that's good to know. I think that's a great tip right there, so that anyone listening who's planning on attending will plan on attending a session like that. I think that it can be overwhelming to go into the vendor space and not really know where to turn, where to go, how it's, you know, especially if you've never been before, how it's laid out. Even, you know, you're looking at the map and it's just a little bit intimidating. So what a great way for Elaine to kind of guide people and get them at least started on the right track.
And, of course, Elaine is going to take the big view of recruiting. It's not just going to be ATSs, but all the important edge technologies that we all know about, where there is competition within those edges and lines up lots of companies. And, you know, she's going to be making some you know, value-based decisions. And, you know, people can disagree, but at least they'll have something to start with. So, yes, I think it's great. It was her idea, and I supported her completely in doing that.
Good. Well, that's a really interesting add-on from last year. So, well, Steve, let's talk a little bit. I mean, so you're, you know, you kind of touched on it that, you know, now that you're co-chairing an event versus being an attendee, and I know even, you know, you've been an attendee and you've also been a speaker, you've facilitated various panels and contests over the years at the event. So how is this year playing out differently from with that set of glasses on versus just being an attendee? Anything that you noticed?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting because it's really about broadening perspective, right? Because we get to look at lots and lots of technologies. We get to talk to lots of companies and practitioners as we sort of went through the process of evaluating sessions and getting, you know, just making determinations about what would be the best set of sessions to program for the show. We talked to lots of practitioners all over the country, all over the world, quite frankly, about their technology projects. So you get such, so much a broader view, right, of the market, not just technologies, but also the challenges and the opportunities that organizations are facing in how technology plays into their HR strategy. So, I mean, that's very valuable and it's quite interesting, and it also helps us, I think, provide, to come up with an overall framework of the show. Like, if we had 10 submissions that are all around, say, something like the importance of succession planning for leadership, right, that kind of tells you something. You can kind of read between the lines and say, wow, you know, talent development and succession planning is something that's really important in the minds of, you know, the some of the top, say, 1,000 largest companies in the world, right? So Should we focus a little more on that? Should we have two sessions on it maybe? Should we look in the awesome new technology session perhaps? Should we find someone who's doing something really innovative in around succession planning and talent development to showcase in the show? Because we know it's probably on the minds of a lot of our attendees. So to me, the biggest difference is really getting that bigger picture view, right? Not only just of solutions, but also, you know, to some extent, the problems and the opportunities facing organizations today and how they're bringing technology to bear to solve those problems.
Well, that's a really interesting point. And I think, you know, Bill, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, kind of the benefits and values for whether you're an HR pro, recruiter, or vendor. But I think that kind of leads into that because, you know, I guess I never really thought about the fact, you know, you two are sort of sitting there behind the curtain, if you will, making this magic. And you're really, by the submissions alone, getting that picture of what's going on out in the field. Right.
Absolutely, and you know, it goes beyond the submissions. We create our own sessions, but I want to add on one thing to what Steve said.
Sure.
And people that may not realize this, and it's not true of every conference by any means, he and I interviewed every single HR practitioner that we considered for presenting at the show for between a half an hour and an hour. The two of us were on the phone with them. As I jokingly sometimes say, first to discover if they have an impenetrable German accent. And second, if they stutter. But those are jokes. What we're doing
right.
is finding out just what they're doing and, you know, frankly, how good a speaker they are. And, you know, I don't know how many are actually in the show. Are there 30 of them in the show? We probably interviewed 50 or 60. And, you know, that's why the content's good, because that's the kind of work that goes into creating it, which, you know, a lot of other shows don't. You send them a written proposal, and they accept it or reject it, and you're in and you're out. Anyway, in terms of your benefits question, in my completely biased opinion, of course, we've become a must-attend event, not necessarily because of what we've done over the last 16 years, but because of the changes in HR during that time. Now, Trish, you've been in HR for what, 14 years, 13 years?
Coming up on 20, actually.
Whoa.
A while, I know.
You should get your ID for the 440.
I know. It's,
anyway,
it's
you can
been a bit.
Anyway, you've seen firsthand how technology has worked its way into every corner of the HR function.
Right.
That it now touches everyone from recruiters and generalists to functional heads, directors and VPs, and smart HR people at all levels realize they just can't be successful in their jobs, in their careers, or for their employees and companies unless they become tech savvy and learn how to get the business benefits out of HR technology. You know, everybody except, of course, for Lori Ruderman, who just scorns it all and just loves going to our parties. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, since you, Trish, and Shauna Murky, and Paul Smith, and Dwayne Lay, back when he was a practitioner, have really been in the forefront of delivering just this message to all of your readers and colleagues. But let me tell you, the older generation is hip to it as well. In her recent HRE Online column, Sue Meisinger, former CEO of SHRM, wrote, let me see if I can find it, here's what she said, if HR executives aren't learning about, thinking about, and using newer technologies that are available and being used in their own profession, how likely is it that they're playing a leadership role to ensure that others in the organization are taking the time to learn? And Sue herself started coming to HR Tech, I think, last year for the first time. Oh. So I think this growing realization among HR people is the reason we've become so large and so popular, because from day one, our purpose has always been to help HR people learn how to get the business benefits out of technology. We're a conference about business process and organizational success enabled by technology, not about bits and bytes. So that's what I think the benefit is.
You know, I think what you say is absolutely true. It is starting to seem like it's spreading to different levels within HR at organizations. I wonder, too, I mean, and I'd love to hear if you think this makes a difference, as the different social platforms are, you know, and tools that look like those are now being put into the more traditional HR systems, do you think that that will make it seem less daunting to people? Like, you know, if they're already able to use, for example, if they're already able to use Facebook or Twitter or something like that on their own, in their personal lives, if they're seeing that some of the different vendors are incorporating and making it look and feel like, I mean, you hear that all the time, like, oh, this is a Facebook-like experience or whatnot, you know, whether it's your applicant tracking or onboarding tool or whatnot. Do you think that's going to help the HR community not be as scared to jump in and learn it, or not necessarily?
I would hope so, because the fact is, we all know that HR is part of enterprise software, which means it's software that runs a company rather than something you use for personal productivity on your laptop or an iPhone application. And these applications run companies, and they have been, in the past, boring and hard to use and a little indecipherable sometimes, and nothing that anyone ever did by choice, right? They used it because it was part of their job, and they had to. Now, a lot of vendors are making some extreme efforts to get by that, and it's funny, it's just how quickly it's forgotten. Before SAP bought SuccessFactors on their own, they had created the most incredible app that looked and worked exactly like Facebook, but actually allowed you to get real work done for your company. And unfortunately, that app got thrown away when SAP bought SuccessFactors. Okay. So it's definitely a trend. People call it the consumerization of HR technology. We're going to see it more and more. I think that HR people are going to get the least of it because they're the ones who have to sort of set things up, right? And they have to administer stuff. And that's always going to be a little boring and a little hard to do. But the point is, the pain they suffer, and isn't this always the case, Trish, for an HR person, the pain they suffer will lessen the pain that the employees suffer.
That's true. I will say that in working in some various companies where either HR had no say-so in the technologies that we were using, you know, to working in ones where we have a lot of input into the technologies we're using, I think the teams that have the ability to work on those implementations, as sometimes dry, boring as they can be, and tedious, you know, when you're going through those early phases. The end result, though, you get so much better buy-in from that HR team using the tool because they feel like they had a part or a role in that decision. plus the fact that they can then go on as they, you know, move up the ladder themselves and make better technology decisions. And it's not, I don't know, to me it just feels like you're not being told this is what you're going to use, like it or not, you know, as you might have been 10, 15 years ago. I do feel like companies are starting to, if you're educated about it, they're very willing to have you step in and say what you think and what technologies you want to use.
And I think the most important message for any senior person listening who gets involved in using new software, as you did, right, at your company, is it's all in the implementation. Spend whatever time, twice what was promised, if necessary, to get the implementation done right, or the software won't work the way you saw it in the demo, and it won't do for your organization what you wanted it to do for your organization if you don't get the implementation right. And that's true of SaaS software, okay? Mm-hmm. The supposedly plug-and-play SaaS software, they all have implementations just like the old on-premise, only they're a little shorter. But the decisions made in implementation you have to live with forever.
Very true. Great advice. Well, Steve, why don't we shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about the session specifically at the event. And I know that from the standpoint of whether you're a returning attendee or you're someone who's considering right now, maybe you're hearing this for the first time and you're thinking about, wow, maybe I should look into going to this. What are some of the things that people are going to see that have you excited as a planner? Because it sounds like you've made countless calls to 50 or 60 or more speakers. So
right, yeah, I think we've got a great program, and you can, you know, check it out for yourself at hrtechconference.com. Certainly, you know, for the full program, the full agenda. I'll just mention a couple of highlights, a couple of things I think are going to be really interesting and exciting. You mentioned that we've already mentioned the panel, Trish, that you're on, the Next Gen Influencers panel with yourself and Madeline Lorano and Jarrett Pazahanek, I hope I said that right, and Maxime from Salesforce.
Nobody can pronounce
it.
I'm not going to try to decipher,
but I think that'll be a great session just because of the differing, not just because of the fresh perspectives, but the differing perspectives that the panelists will bring, industry analyst, HR executive, product person, consultant, that sort of those different perspectives on the market and how that market is moving and being influenced is, I think, going to be a fascinating session, of course. I think the HR Tech Talks, which is our quasi-blatant but not too blatant, hopefully rip-off of the TED Talks format, I think, is really going to be a couple of fun sessions. So they'll be running as concurrent sessions. There are two of them. And if you're familiar with TED and the TED Talks, you get the idea, short 15, 17, 18-minute presentations delivered by a really good and compelling speaker about a topic that they're really passionate and interested about. So we think folks are really going to enjoy that. And there's two sessions there. And some folks, you know, the fans of the show will recognize some of the names. Chris Dunn is doing one. Aaron Green is a former colleague of mine at Oracle, super speaker, will be doing one. Yvette Cameron, who's been on the show before, Trish, way in the past, as well, is doing one. And Ray Wang, hopefully we can pin him down long enough for him to actually deliver an 18-minute speech while he's not running to somewhere else. But those are, I think, going to be really exciting. You know, and just real quick, the awesome new technology session, of course, I'll mention. It's not a new session, but, of course, there'll be all new technologies we'll be showcasing once again. Six technologies, hopefully, that folks will see and hear. Maybe not for the very first time, but possibly for the first time and be amazed by. And then the last thing I'll do, and I'll let it go because I know we're running long already, is the HR Tonight Show starring Bill and Naomi Bloom. I think it's going to be a ball of fun. We could probably spend 10 minutes talking about it, and Bill maybe cares to comment on it. I think that is going to be one of the highlights of the show. I think it's going to be interesting, fun, lively, spirited, you name it. You throw in whatever word you want, but that talk show, that Johnny Carson, that David Letterman kind of style format, but with, you know, people, with Bill hosting, Naomi co-hosting, and just a great panel of guests, I think it's going to be an absolute.
I won't go on about HR Tonight, except that my sole reason in creating it is to show to people that I should have had a network talk show.
You know, I think it's going to be a fun, different way to do it. And Bill, I'm just wondering, like, you know, you maybe should have done this, you know, years ago, right? You're going to go out with a bang when we're right?
What I like to say is, I'm not coasting to a stop.
Right.
I'm still running as fast as I can.
Yeah.
So we've got as much innovation, and you know, thanks to Steve as well, we've got as much innovation in the content and structures of this show as we have ever had in any show for the previous 15 years.
Yeah, and I didn't mention all the stuff we'd expect, right? The case studies, the leading vendors, their leading customers, some of the biggest companies in the world talking mm-hmm. about their HR implementations and how HR technologies help solve their real problems. Companies like Johnson & Johnson and Pepsi and Cigna and Goldman
General
Sachs.
General Motors, General Electric.
Yeah,
it just goes
on and on and on, right? So.
Mm-hmm. So can I mention the one that I'm really intrigued by?
Sure.
I like the session called Yes, You Can Make HR Sexy. I cannot
yes.
wait to find out what that's really all about, because HR is not very sexy. So maybe we'll get
and
some
Ben Brooks. Ben Brooks is a great guy to do that. At a very young age, he was senior vice president of HR at Marsh, you know, the largest
mm-hmm.
insurance broker in the world. Incredibly smart guy, talks twice as fast as any human being can possibly understand. I've got him to promise to talk more slowly. And we'll see what he has to say. I mean, you know, he was on the front lines introducing, unbelievably, social and collaborative programs to the most conservative vertical industry in the world, namely
mm-hmm.
insurance. And he succeeded there. So he's got a lot of tips to tell people about how to make HR sexy, I think.
Good. And you know what? I think also Ben Brooks is someone who, just the way that he was able to use his influence within that company and do it in such a way with such finesse, I think that's what's really important in being successful in HR in general. So I think people, regardless of what he talks about, I think if they go to a session like that, they're going to, you can't help but pick up on how he sort of words things and, like I said, with that finesse that he has, which, you know, that's always a good takeaway, too, when you can leave hearing a speaker where you go back to your day job and can maybe use some of the same language that they use to help get things done.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, on both accounts, I mean, Ben is a role model, I believe, for every HR practitioner, and given how ridiculously young he is and how successful he's been. And two, Steve and I really went out of our way, because we'd heard this from evaluations, that people want takeaways that they can go back to the office on Thursday if they're not
mm-hmm.
going to the Success Connect user conference, which is the day after. You know, we're a sandwich between HR Evolution and Success Connect this year. That they can go home on Thursday and really start doing something with it, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what you
yeah.
want. And we really mm-hmm. tried to go out of our way to provide some of that. In addition to, you know, long-range thinking and big ideas, right?
Right. Well, I will say, having been to many of these events of yours in the past, that I'm probably most excited about this program you've put together, because I do think it has a little bit of something for everyone. So, very good. Well, you know, we're getting close to the end of the podcast, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the trends. And so, you know, as a practitioner, here's where, you know, it gets a little fuzzy sometimes. So you're out in the field, and whether you're an HR leader who's trying to stay on top of these trends, and you're, you know, you're Googling and reading different vendor posts and articles, or maybe you have different bloggers you follow who you're trying to keep on top of, I will tell you, I mean, the trends and predictions in HR technology for 2013 is just immense. There are so many. If I was not going to this event or had not been in the past, I can tell you it would be very confusing. I'm curious, and I'll have you both weigh in on this, but Bill, what, you know, you're talking to all these people. You're getting pitched some of the true cutting-edge trends in HR technology. What are you seeing? Are you seeing anything new? And then if so, what does that look like? Is it what was being predicted back at the end of 2012?
My first point is, Trish, while I might write about that stuff for the column, I feel that most practitioners don't have the time and the money to jump on trends. I mean, there are some companies that do that, but most don't. so that while we cover all that hot new stuff in the show, we still focus on the functional areas that probably still plague HR people, HCM, talent management, time and attendance, recruiting, outsourcing, workforce analytics. I mean, the tried and true things that people still have problems with, right? And the good news is, over time, I have seen tremendous new developments in a lot of areas, and not always brand new things, but things that have been around for a few years. Don't forget, talent management now is 9 years old. We've been talking about it for 9 years, and it's still not finished. But, for instance, I believe that after 35 years, and after Jack Fitzens recently had open-heart surgery at the age of 83, HR is finally going to do workforce analytics, okay? I hear it from analytics vendors. I saw it last year at Brian Kelly's session, Analytics 101, which was the largest breakout we've ever had. So we're repeating that this year as part of a graduated track on workforce analytics and workforce planning. And I'm going to talk too fast here because I know that we're getting near the end. There's obviously an accelerating move to SaaS and the cloud. This is at least 5 years old. But it's critically important because this is a new generation of computing, like the move from mainframes to client server, from Windows to web-based apps. And there are plenty of good reasons for companies to stay behind in the old way of doing things on-premise. But companies don't want to do that by mistake or because they didn't notice that people were moving. So that's really important. Social is much farther along. Our mutual friend Chris Dunn struggled at last year's HR Tech to create a panel of companies using social and collaborative technologies to get real work done. This year, Marcia Connor has executives from General Motors, McKesson, Cigna, and the CIA doing it. Now, of course, the CIA has been collaborating by reading our emails with the NSA, but, you know, they're collaborating. and, you know, mobile has certainly moved forward in recruiting, as has video interviewing. There are lots of new examples of good use cases for gamification. Big data is solidly ensconced in recruiting with companies like Guild, TalentBin, and Intello, all mining it for those, you know, rare A-plus software engineers. And finally, MOOCs, and Josh is going to be talking about them, are moving from the university to business. And we mentioned before the consumerization of enterprise software that Steve has written a lot about. So, you know, HR systems are at least getting easier to use, although I wouldn't call them fun yet.
Yeah, Trish, I'll just be real quick. I'll say two quick things, and then I know we'll probably want to wrap up. Two things. One is sort of taking that traditional process and those traditional pain points that all organizations face and seeing them refreshed and modernized. I'll give you an example. I saw a demo for a potential awesome new technology participant that has rethought the time clock. You know, the time clock you might have in your facilities, right?
Oh, sure.
Mounted to the wall, hardwired into the building, firmware upgrades, right? Cost $5,000, and they've reimagined it as an iPad app. It's, you know, iPad sits to the wall, the time clock becomes an app, right? And it's just cheaper, easier. It's always updated, right? Seamlessly interfaces to the time and attendance system, the payroll system, and so on and so forth, right? So it's a boring process, right? Punching in, punching out, but it's reimagined. Cheaper, it's faster, it's more fun to use, right? So that's one. I think we'll see more things like that, maybe not all this year, but in the next couple of years. And the second thing I've seen a little bit of lately, I've seen in a couple of demos just this week, is more contextual awareness. So like the same, we talk about consumerization of enterprise technologies, and we mostly talk about interfaces. At least that's what people generally think about when we use that term, right? Just how you operate the system, what you tap or what you click, and so on and so forth. But the paradigm of kind of systems recommending things to you based on either your past behavior, your friend's past behavior, other things that you've looked at, other things that you've done. So whether it's surfacing potential training courses from the training catalog to a manager when they're evaluating an employee on competencies, or if it's surfacing a potential list of experts who might have worked on a particular a deal that you're working on in a CRM system integrated back into, say, the internal social network, that kind of thing. Seeing more and more of that. I'm seeing systems that are architected more to present information and insight to the user when rather than them having to go somewhere else to look for it. And so maybe that's a little obtuse, but I think we'll see a lot more of that in the next coming years, too. Those are two things I've seen a lot of lately, and I think both very interesting.
This is what I gave up by offering Steve to produce awesome new technologies.
That's what I was wondering.
He is seeing, well, I just thought it was the perfect thing for him to do, and also for him to show the audience his level of standards and taste and discernment in technology. And, you know, so I miss out seeing 20, 40 demos of new software, which, of course, allows me to go to the beach more often. But,
sure.
You know, Steve learns a lot more.
Right. Yeah, I actually it sounds pretty interesting to me. So, well, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I mean, and I mean that sincerely. Not, you know, and no one's telling me I have to say that. This as a practitioner, this is the event where every year I absolutely learn the most, and it's brought value as, you know, both the sessions I've attended where I've learned things that, you know, Bill, to your point earlier, that I actually brought back to work, regardless of where I was working, and put things into play. Where, you know, last year, for example, I was on that expo floor going through demo after demo because I was in the buyer's mode, right? And I have to tell you, as a practitioner, I don't have time to take all these calls throughout the year, you know, when I'm not ready for them, right? It's when the sales guy happens to call. So I love the fact that, you know, even if you're intimidated by technology the slightest bit, you can go, you can walk around that expo floor, you can have the demos you want, and in a way that's bite-sized, so you don't feel like you have to sit on an hour-long demo with some company you've never heard of before or that you really don't know if you even need. So to me,
it's true, Trish. We have become the biggest and best shopping mall for HR technology and products and services in the world. We had 257 vendors last year. We're going to be north of that for sure this year. And as you pointed out, you know, even though they may smile at you, they don't grab you as you walk by, right? And you get to pick whom you want to stop and talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all there. I mean, every important vendor that you'd consider buying is there.
Right. And you tend to leave out, unlike other conferences, you kind of leave out people selling hair bows or
we take them, Trish. If you have a line on a vendor that wants to sell costume jewelry.
Inspirational posters. I want a vendor selling inspirational posters.
I'm all right with
that. I have seen some of the most strange booths. And I mean, I guess, you know, as long as you pay for it, right, you can go. But, yeah, hair bows was definitely one of my favorite one year at a conference. I won't call out where that was, but I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, what am I doing? This is supposed to be for human resources, and we're selling hair bows. But they were adorable. I did not purchase any, though. So, it is nice,
you know,
to be able to come where you're in a professional setting.
Even though there's a lot of fun to be had at the conference, our conference is for serious work. It's for serious learning. It's for serious shopping. It's for serious networking. It really is.
Yeah.
And there still is a lot of fun to be had, but it's after a day where you've really gotten a lot done.
Right. Yeah, I think if you're someone who's debating going, you'll be able to come back and tell your boss, here are all the things
I
was able to bring back.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be easy to produce information after you return from the event. So, which is always a selling point to get to go.
Yeah. I've just realized that, you know, a lot of conferences now are giving people pre-written letters to sell their boss on allowing them to go, which we've never done, but I think it's sort of a good idea. But the point is, after you've been to HR Tech, you have no problem justifying to your boss why you went.
I agree. Well, listen, thank you both. Thank you, Bill, for taking time to talk with us today. And thanks, Steve, for letting me take the reins for the moment and you being more on the guest side. So for everyone, you need to go to www.hrtechconference.com. You can also check out the LinkedIn group for HR Tech Conference. It's a very robust group that Bill has grown over the last, 2009, I think he started it, possibly?
Last 3 years, we now have
3 years
almost 16,000
right?
members.
Yeah, I mean, and again, if you're someone who's timid about HR technology, you're not sure where to start, that LinkedIn group is a really good resource. So you can just sort of lurk if you want to until you kind of get the feel of it, but lots of great information is shared there, not just about the event, but about HR technology in general. Any other updates?
Download the app, Trish. Download the HR Technology Conference app in the App Store or on Google Play. It's out. Came out yesterday.
Oh, very good.
So you can get your app there, and then hit me up always, Steve Bowes. I'm on Twitter. Find me. If you have questions, of course, I'm happy to talk about any HR Technology Conference questions anybody has. So
good. And Bill
is on
Twitter.
Sure, I'm at Bill Cudick, one word, and Steve Bowes is one word. And also happy to do that. And you know, to my mind, the really important thing is that the people who are practitioners don't feel nervous about coming to the show. Nobody is going to make you feel stupid. Nobody is going to make you feel out of it. I mean, this is the place. I mean, China Gorman just wrote it about it, a blog yesterday. She said, short of going back to school and getting another degree, this is the best place for practitioners to go to start learning about technology.
I agree wholeheartedly. You know what word I would tell practitioners they will feel is empowered. You will go back to work empowered. That's the bottom line. You cannot help it. So, yep, they should absolutely go. Well, good. Thank you both. And
thank you,
Trish. We'll definitely follow along on the Twitter hashtag, HRTechConf, C-O-N-F, and we'll see you hopefully in the fall with many new attendees.
In 12 weeks, which is, you know, seems far away to some people, but to me it seems like a week away. So we will
Very
see you
good.
All there.
All right.
All right. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.